Yes, Brennan.
Okay, well, this is the workshop, How Does University Work? It's being organized by Kritische Studenten Utrecht, Critical Students of Utrecht, together with some students of the course that we're going to, and people who are participating in the course and also organizing the course. What we're going to do is talk about the course that we organize. We're organizing this semester, have been organizing this semester in Utrecht, about how the university works. I'll first explain some stuff about who's organizing it, how we organized it, and what the thoughts were behind organizing it, so why do we do it. Hugo is going to talk a bit about some of the, it's a research course, so he's going to talk about some of the research that's being done, and we're going to run through different people doing different research, and we're going to talk about some specific bits of research that we're doing ourselves in more detail, and that will be about 20 minutes. And then we want to have at the end we want to have a discussion about mainly we want to talk about is it useful what we're doing, what is the relationship between student movement and research in this sense, and maybe movements for social change in more general sense. So I'll start off with talking about the course. Kritische Studenten Utrecht basically initiated this course. We're a group of about 10-15 students and ex-students in Utrecht, and we've existed for 2 years now. We have our own newspaper, we have a website, we've written papers about the situation in education now, the problems with commercialization. We try and fight for democratization of education, and for an education that creates critical people instead of people that just say yes, sir. So that's basically what Kritische Studenten Utrecht is. We also, of course, now are fighting against the education cuts, and also we're focusing on sort of broader issues in society and trying to link education and other struggles together. And we also organize debates in Utrecht now with Basta at the Lab every 2 weeks. So that's who we are. How did this course come into existence? Last year we organized a course with of three workshops with two teachers, an anthropology teacher in Utrecht, and a sort of a freelance philosopher, or sort of something like that. And this was about the university from a sort of philosophical perspective. And it was interesting, but we also had some criticism about it. It was because we want to see education happen in a sort of a participatory way, in which students and teachers together define what they want to learn and how they want to learn. So while we were evaluating what we did last year, we basically decided, I think it's worth it to do it again. But this time we want to do it differently. We want to do it in a participatory way. And so it's been quite a big experiment, really. We've been, because we've never done anything like this before. What we basically do is we come together every 2 weeks to discuss about the central question, how does the university work? We define it as a research course, so different students can choose their own sort of angle or their own topic that they want to research, and the idea is that what comes out of the course is some kind of end product, so that could be a research paper, that could be a documentary, it could be a symposium. It didn't really matter as long as as long as you can actually produce something, and that what you made doesn't just get put in a drawer somewhere and nobody ever reads it. So we want to try and reach a broader public with what we're doing. But I think we'll become more clear when Hugo talks about the research in a minute. We've also had some guest speakers talking, so the students can invite guest speakers to talk about some research that they're doing or about a topic that they think is relevant to their research. So we had someone who came to talk about research at the university. So they said the problems they're having with quantification of all the research they have to the research the content of the research isn't as important as the amount of research they do and in which journals they publish, that kind of stuff. Also, we had some friends from Doorbraak and the FNV who came to talk about the struggles of the cleaners inside the university in Utrecht, who they're organizing. And that was really interesting as well. And we've had a few talks like this. And I think that's about it for the introduction. Are there any questions about the course or what it is exactly that I can maybe quickly answer?
Is it an official university course?
Ah, good point. I forgot that bit. Yes. There's a structure in the University of Utrecht in the anthropology department where a teacher can has a certain space to define a tutorial, and you get study points for it. So students get 7.5 study points or 5 or something for this course. But the teacher doesn't actually get paid, so it's a sort of a loophole in the system.
So it came from a lot of students. They go abroad, do an internship, or they do a full study, and they come back and they're missing some points. And the teachers, because of they don't have that much money in university, are only allowed to give a certain number of courses and also a certain specific. So a lot of times a student comes to them like, I really want to do this course, doing this, and they can give credits to develop a course for a specific student or for a group of students, but they have to do it outside, in their free time. So for the students, it's part of their course, but the teachers have to do it for free.
Yep. And some other things. Maybe we can talk about that a bit later.
Maybe one thing to add about the guest lectures. The idea behind the guest lectures is that each research group organizes one meeting so that the students don't just come and consume their education, but they organize it themselves as well, and everybody has to organize one class. And it can be related to their research group or their research subject or whatever they think is interesting. And that's one way that everybody participates in the structure and the organization of the course.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, because the central idea is not that there's a certain body of knowledge that we want to bring across to the students, but the idea is that together we engage in a sort of a search for what do we want to find out, and how do we want to find what we're looking for. So sort of different perspective on education is what the trend is now, going more and more towards is sort of a
You were saying you were quite focused on the end product or a product in any sort of way, but isn't it more about the process? Isn't the learning process far more sustainable and durable if you talk about education?
Of course both are very important, but we also thought it would be a shame if we do all this research and it stays inside between the 15-20 people that participate. So one of the goals was to bring it to the to a broader public.
I'll tell something later about the form in the presentation.
Yeah. So I think that's all from me. Now Hugo will, if there aren't any more questions, So now Hugo will introduce. He's also a student, and he'll introduce some of the research subjects. And yeah, me and Avon will also talk about some of the research that we're doing.
Okay, let me explain. I'm a student in this course, but it's a very interesting course. It's also a very open course. There are people in the course that are formally enlisted as a student at the moment, but there are some people that are not enlisted at the moment as a student, and they can participate also. And an old man like me could also participate. And I became involved because some of my friends are active in the Kritische Studenten Utrecht, and two of these friends happen to be my children also. And I was always very interested in their in education, good and free education, etc., etc. So the first course that was interesting, it was when it was in Utrecht, it was planned, and this university building was occupied the days that the first meeting was there, and I was there to support it. And then they said, "Oh, you want to take part in the course?" And I said, "But it could. It's nice, free course." So I came back to university after having studied 35 years ago. This course. So we're not going to present here now, let's say, the end results, but the process of how, like Jeremy said, it was very free. It was the title was there, but it was like all the people could, you know, just think for themselves. Okay, what is it that I want to research? So everybody came up with his own topic. Also the form, free if they wanted to film or just write or well, whatever. It was very very open. So. Some of the topics that came up was, for instance, the Bologna Declaration. The Bologna Declaration was written on a European level, I think something like 15 years ago, or 12. And it's not from the European Union, but it's broader. It also includes Russia. It is not a legal binding paper, but the idea is that all educations, that's where the bachelor and master structure comes from, that they're all, you know, it will be easier in Europe to go from a university here to somewhere there. And it's a whole process. But it's the question, is it all right? How does it work? How does it influence our education system in Holland? I mean, is it taking away freedoms, or is it good? You know, it's just a research project. We're going to look at it. Some people made that their subject. I must say also it was very free course. The point was also that some people started the course and then, you know, were busy with other things and. The group got a bit smaller than it was at the start. There is, for instance, the group privatization and academic thinking, which is a very important topic because, you know, this knowledge at university, is it free? Should everybody could be able to access it, or can the university get patents on some things they invent, and there's discussion about you know, the research which is publicly funded normally only they is published in expensive scientific papers the normal public cannot access. So should it all be free, or should it be more or less privatized, like of course is also in university a problem at the moment. There were a few students who are active in the student representation, the formal student representation structure that is at university, where they can take part in councils and talk about things and make decisions. But what is the influence? Is it real influence? You know, is it of any importance, or just, you know, they can give an advice once in a while and the advice will be ignored or not? I mean, what is the function? What is the importance of this whole process? And there are laws and rules. There's so much to investigate on that. It's a whole structure with elections, etc. Now, is it meaningful or not? Management and motivation. Management and motivation. That's got to do one with the other, but that we tried to figure out in the beginning also. But you know, there's a lot of management in university now. The structure of university is very top down. You know, the minister names this and that, and it's very top down, very hierarchical, very much management on all levels, and the students are obliged now to go in a few years through university as fast as possible. You know what? But where is the motivation? I mean, what is the importance of motivation in the process? I mean, does a student need motivation, or just, you know, you're going to be an engineer, so, you know, shut up, study. In 3 years, you'll be an engineer, and you get a good job and earn a lot of money. But I mean, what is the role of motivation? Motivation versus all this management. What is the most important of the two? That's, I think, interesting topic. I will say a little bit more about, because and then I give the word to Jeremy again. I was self doing a study on the management of university, and also related to where does the money come from, and where the power is. I mean, how is the university structured? Who's got the power? Is it the students that have the power? I mean, I can say no, they don't. It's the minister who has the power, and he names the people that govern. It's very top down. It's completely top down. So on the bottom, you have nothing to say. You can consume. You can consume the study you choose, and that's about it. And good enough. There are some people, also some teachers, professors, and students that look farther. But most people don't even have the time to look farther. One of the things I want to say, my conclusion also on where the money comes from, the university is very much commercialized at the moment, and it is everything I read, it's worse than I thought. And like one, I just want to give one example, so you have an idea what it in practice means. In Utrecht, they're building a science park at the Uithof. It's already there, isn't it? They're building more. The science park, Utrecht is good in climate research, and there are some good climate researchers there. But the ones involved in the science park is companies like Shell and DSM and etc. And then I think, wait a minute, are they going to solve the climate problem for us? Because like one example, and why it's not good, is that Shell, they're focusing on biofuels. They forgot everything about wind power and other things, biofuels. And why biofuels? And then I understood, Shell has the whole infrastructure for biofuels. And we know we cannot go biofuels because there's not enough land on the whole earth to produce enough biofuels, and people will starve from hunger because we're using biofuels. So it's not a good way. But Shell wants to go that way, and why? Because they have the infrastructure for biofuels. You know, so Shell is not interested in saving the climate. They're interested only in their own profit, and it's not science. And so that is influencing university now. So not into the real solution, but into the profit and making entrepreneurs out of students. That is what's happening. I think I know better.
Yeah.
if they were first to China?
Yeah. Now we're going to talk about our research a bit.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Wait, I don't
know. Me? All right. Yeah, I will surely talk about what I'm researching. I'm researching motivation, and I'm a student at the University of Amsterdam, and starting next year they're going to restructure, basically the entire education system, because now you choose like a direction, and within that direction you can choose like vrije keuzeruimte, you have some subjects you can choose, and they're going to narrow it down, so starting next year when you pick that study, then your entire study is lined out. You're going to know what you're going to study next week, and you're going to know what you're going to study in 3 years from now. And there's not really any room to go outside of that. And as I followed the presentation about this new structure, at the end I felt like I was getting cheated somehow, and I felt very demotivated. I felt like, well, if this is it and I have no freedom in my own education, then well, I wasn't really looking forward to really motivated, so I thought, well, I'm going to research motivation and how the university influences that. And I'm doing that right now. And my end product, I'm kind of working with some people to produce an end product. And what I'm thinking about now is an animated movie or like a sort of comic as an end product, because that's also part of the course that you can choose from beginning to end what you're going to do. And my idea was that it was interesting to do something besides the usual PowerPoint presentation and a research paper. So that's why I'm probably going to do like a movie or a comic. And about my research, I'm not going to tell you exactly what I found here because that's a long story. But basically what it comes down to, if you start an education or you start any work, as long as someone's breathing down your neck and is really narrowing down what you can't and can do, you're not very motivated from within. You're like, you're motivated because of the consequences from outside. And if you're left more, you have left more freedom and you're left more alone, then you become interested in it and you can let your creativity in it, and then you become more motivated from within. So that's my main finding from now. And which means that the education system restructuring is basically going to mean that you're going to have students who are not motivated because they want to learn or they're interested in what they're going to study, but they're motivated because, yeah, they're the consequences that come from outside if they don't finish their education, like the geldboetes and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'll just talk about what I'm researching with somebody else. We are doing a project on Europe, the crisis, economic crisis, and higher education. So we want to look at how policies at the European level are influencing our education system. We also want to focus on the possibilities for resistance. So we're taking a look at student movements in the past, how they've coped with changes, or how they've tried to make changes. And also we're going to look, we're looking at student movements in different countries, what kind of policies are they implementing in different countries, and how are students reacting to those policies. And yeah, what can we learn from those struggles? That's basically what we're doing. We're also we're doing this for the course, but also for a brochure that we're publishing at the end of the summer. So we'll have that's our end product. We'll have a brochure that is being printed like 5,000 times or something. We're going to try and distribute that around the country. So that's my research project. I think I'm now giving the word to Tim, who's going to talk a bit about the form of the course.
Yeah.
And then he's going to lead a discussion about what we just talked about.
So I got involved with the course through Critische Studenten Utrecht. I'm an activist and filmmaker, and I was supporting Critische Studenten Utrecht at the occupation and I'm also a part-time teacher at the university where I give a course in academic research through images, like how can you use film, the language of film, in academic research. So I got involved in this course, and for us, that's also what the discussion is going to be about. We would very much like to see how we can share the research we've done, completed or not, with other students, and see if there's willingness or motivation to also pick up this course at different universities or HBO or any other place, and how we can work together in that. So we very much try to support different ways of presenting your work, just not write an academic essay or whatever, but support other different ways of presentation. On the 30th of June, we have a presentation of it's called an encounter in the Cargador in Utrecht. And there's, they said Aaron's gonna do an animated cartoon. A lot of people have used a video film inside their research. On the way, different levels as well, they also use it in a participating observatory. So, for instance, one girl, she's doing research at how the situation of the cleaners and, for instance, the security is. And in that she followed a day with the security around the building, filming that as well. We also recorded all the guest lectures in audio and partially in video. And our idea is to set up next to this encounter we're having, which is going to also be like sort of an open space where everybody gets a presentation, have a website where we have a small video of what the course is, how it's organized. It's like the stuff we're telling now, in which we encourage people also to pick up this type of making your own education and maybe this form of education, researching how the structures of higher education in general work. And there also have all these different researchers put their information, maybe together with video or with audio. So also the stuff we use to find this information, some links to the papers, some links to the guest lectures, and all the video material that has been shot will be available. We don't know how yet for other people who are, let's say, University of Nijmegen wants to do the same course, want to shoot maybe also a documentary, that we can give all the video material that we had, all the interviews that we have, they can also use it in their research or in making a documentary. So we really want to share our learning path with other students. So that brings us to the discussion in where maybe first the question is, do you think it's useful what we are doing? Do you think self-organized learning in the one hand, but also researching the power dynamics and the structures of higher education? And would it be an idea to see if we could transfer it to other universities, HBOs, anything?
May I ask one more question?
Yes.
Are the teachers that you have, are they, I mean, you get credits, that's cool. Are the teachers also being paid for this course?
No.
No.
And what is their role still in this, when it's actually, you told the second version, which was much more horizontal and more participatory, but how, from your perspective, were the teachers then functioning?
Yeah.
Or did they do their own research as well?
No, they of course, we want to have really good, you know, the research is very nice that we set up our own course and do our research, but it has to be of a high quality if you want to present it. And therefore, the teachers, they can help us in making sure that we truly do really a good academic research. So they help on this level to monitor, to ask questions, what exactly do you want the research to specify. But it's on a very horizontal base, so we have for every student who also wants to be interested in organizing the course, so not just going there and organizing their own lectures, we come together together with the teachers to say, how are we going to do next meeting, how are we going to do the bigger, broader span of the course. Does this answer your question?
Mm-hmm. Yes, 14 days ago in Belgium, we did a very nice direct action against the GMO potatoes. And officially, they were research of the University of Ghent. But in practice, they are BASF potatoes, so, and they are going to be patented. Okay. So, and as a side effect of the action, we got a very nice debate in the press for 40 days on about the independency of research. At first, the rector, the high board of the university, they sent out press releases where they condemned very fiercely the action. They said it was an assault on independent academic research. But just that backfired against them, because inside the university, a lot of other academics and students were saying, what independent research? It's BASF potatoes, and they're going to be patented. And like, and now there are things coming up. Even the advice committee who said that the research was okay to do, it seems that the dossier was fraudulent. There was not enough information. There was pressure from ministers to push through the research and all. And now more and more academics from inside are really criticizing what the university is doing right now. So I think, yeah, that's a possibility. Like you were talking about that science park, we're having that also in Belgium, and it's growing, and the power is growing enormous. So I think in every university you can find something. And also the question, GMOs, do we want that? And like, for example, in Ghent, the research on ecology, on sustainable agriculture, is diminishing, because the most of the funds, they go to GMO research right now.
In Wageningen also, a Dutch company, they're also Avego or something like that.
Are also researched, the DURF potatoes, I guess.
They also work together with Monsanto and mice and the Roundup stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
So has that led to a discussion about the independence of scientific research in general?
Yeah, absolutely. Because the three days after the action, like the director of all universities in Belgium, they really condemned the action. And now 14 days later, they just admit in the press, yeah, it's not that independent, and yeah, we have problems in financing, and so. But there's another.
But one of the researchers got fired, no?
Huh?
One of the researchers got fired.
Yeah. One of the reasons is that in Belgium, if you have, you can fire people for different reasons. But one is, in Dutch it's om dringende redenen, so for reasons that are very urgent. And then the people who employs you, he has to do this at the latest 3 days after the fact. So they had to do that very quickly, but it was an enormous mistake, because it got a lot of backfiring. There's a petition going on. Noam Chomsky signed it, Desmond Tutu signed it, Ken Loach signed it, Tarek Ali signed it, and a whole lot of researchers. So it's really a big debate, and for the last 14 days it was every day in the mainstream press, which we didn't expect that,
right,
it could be possible.
It also raises, of course, a really other ideological question, is that with all the companies putting money into research, most of the results that the universities, in the research that comes from the research, which of course we also pay for the research, the university it is, they're immediately patent. So it's not anymore the development of free knowledge that is good for the general society, it's already canalized into this corporation structure. And this is also the question, what is the role of the university in society on a more ideological base?
Yeah, universities now have special offices that manage the patents that come out of research, etc. It's a general general scheme all over. Also in Holland, universities depend for a large amount of their money on what's called in Holland the CERT, the derde geldstroom, the CERT flow of money, which they depend completely on multinationals, etc. Pharmaceutical industry is also involved in the science park.
I mean, I think it's interesting that you also combined kind of two projects, right? I mean, one thing is that you wanted to kind of create courses, or at least one course, extra curriculum and still get credits for it, which you could do with a lot of topics. And another thing is that you wanted to investigate how actually the university is currently functioning, coming out also of this already going on struggle, ongoing struggles and so on. So I think it's also important because you did combine them, but you don't necessarily have to do that if you want to pick up one of these ideas. It's interesting maybe to look back on the last big phase of, not in the Netherlands actually, but in many other countries, the 70s, there were a lot of things going on for sure on a high level with student movements. And there was a method that was used a lot coming from Italy, that was this kind of, militant investigation. There were many names. And that was then not necessarily by making an official course and getting credits for that as well and working together with teachers, but more just themselves, also with workers often, to do research about how whatever production or the university or whatever part of society is functioning in order to also actually understand your own position in it. And I think that's, it's interesting that you found a very different way for doing a similar kind of, it's a self-investigation also of trying to understand the place where you are in and where you are somehow functioning or not functioning, that doesn't matter, but and it gives a lot of perspective on what you're fighting. So that approach I definitely would like to be picked up, even if it's not through courses at the university with credits, because I think it's very valuable to collectively investigate what we're actually dealing with sometimes, and then try to spread the results as well. So I'm looking forward to the brochure.
Of course, it's a tendency that is happening all around Europe, like student moves are going up again, but you see, for instance, in London and in Barcelona, they have open universities, which are mainly squatted buildings, where people can give their own courses, they have hackerspace, they have open libraries, so this is a tendency. And for instance, I think it was the university in Berlin, where students said, we create our own curriculum next to the normal curriculum. And so they were asking professors, teachers to teach in that curriculum, which nobody would get any points for. And because it was really the students say, we want to have a lecture from you and from you, it became a very high profile for this teachers to be invited by the students to give this lecture. So they were like, yes, I'm invited this week, you know, and then other students. So it's always, for both, it was really motivating for this. And really wondering why it cannot always be like this, you know?
Is there an index or any other way to find out what lectures are given in which corner of what your people have built up? Op welke plek, welke lectures op welke plek gegeven worden?
You mean, yeah, we...
Index it. So, regular, somebody says, hey, this is a nice lecture.
Yep.
Maybe I'll look in.
We have our website, kritischestudenten.nl. You can find that now.
Yes.
We're busy developing a website specifically for this course as a sort of, on the one hand, as an archive for what we set up, and at the same time, and the research, and at the same time, when we hopefully carry on with this next year, to put these kind of announcements up.
I think it's very important to inform the students about this inbreng van bedrijf in the universities, because I think most students don't really realize. They're mostly busy with the amount of study finance they get and the cutbacks in the university itself, which means less courses or not as good material. And some of them even think it's a good thing that there's money coming from companies. And it's not really a known thing, I think. Yeah.
Well, I think I think most people and also students now know there is this money from commercial companies, mostly multinationals, but it's not understood what are the implications, because the university, they shamelessly promote it. I mean, really, I read, let's say, then how do you investigate this? Because we all know there is something like, you know, this commercial money going to university, but what? So I read the complete annual report of the university, and if you look at it, they shamelessly promote it. And not only Utrecht, it's other university. It seems that I specifically focused on Utrecht University, but it seems Utrecht University is very successful in this. So other universities are looking at Utrecht universities and copying it, like this science park idea. And so it's really, again, last time, they shamelessly promote this science park with all these multinationals, turning students into entrepreneurs. They're setting up something like a business center there, where then students can set up their own small startup companies to make money out of the knowledge that they, you know, they're just turning students into businessmen. But the implication of that, I mean, this started, I think, like 30 years ago. And in the beginning, you know, I think, yeah, well, okay, maybe it's not a bad idea that, you know, they use this all the scientific knowledge at university and maybe do some good things in research for new medicines or something like that, you know, sometimes. But I mean, if you then look into it, you see the implications. It's the implications that you have to look into and explain to the people, I think. What does it mean if Shell and the pharmaceutical industry, when the pharmaceutical industry is involved in all this life science? There are two big things, the climate research in Utrecht and life sciences. And it's the whole pharmaceutical industry is in there. And not to help the poor people around the world with cholera and those kind of things. But Danone is very much involved there. Danone making yogurts.
But I think it's quite difficult, because I certainly do not support the fact that this is happening, but there is something to say for the fact that if they weren't giving any money, there weren't investigation in any sort of thing going on, because there just isn't money from other places.
Yeah, but that's not true. I mean, that's a totally unhistorical.
Wait. Can I go after him?
Well, I think it's a good point that many people have questions about. And in a very direct sense, it's true. If now all of a sudden there's no money from companies anymore, there will be huge underfunding of university. That's why we should fight for more social funding from university, funding by the state, which, I mean, I guess most people here, we don't like the state that much, but compared to companies, we at least have some form of control over it and over where the money goes. And so that's a fight. So if you want to decrease the money from companies, yeah, obviously you should also address the question, where should the money then come from? And then you're dealing with, you know, bigger questions of how the money is divided in society. So for instance, why don't we spend more money on universities so that they don't have to get money for research from companies instead of using the money for the military or, you know, or
yeah,
many
it's
other
kind
things.
Of true, but I think it's not like how do you say that? The government doesn't have leadership over those companies. It's like those companies are above the government. And isn't it like we the people, we the consumers, we have influence on that big multinationals? So shouldn't it come from inside and like manipulating the... Ja, ik kan het niet zo goed in Engels zeggen, misschien moet iemand het maar voor mij vertalen. Maar is het niet zo dat wij juist als mensen en als consumenten en als onderzoekers juist dat onderzoek moeten gebruiken? Nou, misschien en de gewenste resultaten van hun moeten onderzoeken, maar daarbuiten met dezelfde funding ook nog een apart onderzoek moeten doen. Want die resultaten kunnen wel net dezelfde onderzoeken kunnen beschreven worden.
Should I translate it?
You're basically saying that use the money that the companies give the universities for research, for doing the research, but also use that money to do your own research, or to combine them, like...
Nee, gewoon hetzelfde onderzoek. De resultaten die zijn heel veel bekend in de hoofden van de onderzoekers. Die weten het precies. Die schrijven het alleen niet op, omdat ze alleen de resultaten opschrijven waarvoor ze betaald krijgen. Terwijl ze dat gewoon noteren en handtekeningen eronder zetten en dat van buitenaf publiceren, heb je ook weer het tegenwoord. En juist kun je er wel iets mee doen.
Ik zal er... Bedoel je, voor duidelijkheid, dan vertel ik bedoel je eigenlijk onderzoek, de resultaten die uit het onderzoek komen, die het bedrijf eigenlijk niet wil horen, of die misschien niet zo wel gevallig zijn voor het bedrijf, toch te publiceren daarbij?
Ja, precies. Alleen nog niet onder de naam van dat bedrijf, maar via een externe organisatie.
Oké.
Wat zeg je?
Could you translate? I think you're going to reply on it. We organized a lecture about this from André Kloekoen, who is, how do you say this?
First translate.
Yeah. So you're basically saying that the research is being done, maybe companies are expecting a certain result, and that you publish that result or you publish your research in a sort of objective way to that companies, but then you also, the other results you find, you present not under the name of the company. Is that what you're implying?
Ja, zo ongeveer. En dat komt omdat ik denk dat de overheid staat onder die grote multinationals. Yeah. Die hebben er helemaal geen invloed op.
Yeah. So the companies are above the state, and then we are actually able to control by consuming, but also by researching those multinationals.
Yeah.
So we should put side of forum. Those, yeah.
Well, we had a guest lecture from a guy called André Kloekoen, who has lots of different, some better, some worse views about education. But one thing that he's very good in, I think, is around research and very critical. There have been sort of meta studies done, sort of research about research, on how researchers are influenced by their opdrachtgevers.
By the people they do research for, the company.
Yeah. So you say that researchers know, on the one hand, what the real results are, but on the other hand, they know they can't publish them because it could be contractually binding that the company has the last say in whether it's published or not, for example. These things happen as well. But also, there's a psychological effect on the part of the researcher who unconsciously, or maybe consciously, but in many cases unconsciously, leans the research towards what he thinks that the company or the government or whatever would want them to say. So it's not that that simple, I think, as you would... like.
And then also the companies give a specific amount of research. One of the points from Kloekoen is also that all the major paradigma shifts in research have occurred not in the last 50 years but before, because now they're only funding 4 years, 8 years of research. And if you see all the big findings like penicillin, there were people that were researching for 30 years, and you're researching something and then you find something on a side track you were not expecting. Like, oh, this is interesting, we're going to research as well. And that's where really scientific breakthroughs come from. And now because there's a high efficiency rate, like you have to research this specific bacteria and yogurt and this, the research can only focus on a specific point, which is also only helping the companies, but not helping society. So, but I think a lot of this debate is also really a ideological, philosophical debate, but what is the role of university? Like one of the things being said, you can have two roles of university. One is to that you let companies or society or the economy make the courses and make things, so you have a perfect profile to go into these companies and you actually reproduce the status quo of the system. Or you can be you choose your own research and you do everything, and then of course you will find different results. You will be critical on the system because no system is perfect, and especially not this one. But then you're in conflict with the status quo, and then of course they will not fund you because they have no benefit from that. So I think we need to find the balance. And one of the solutions you were saying of maybe a medium solution is let all the research done by university, let it be open source. Don't let any research be done with public money as well as interference from companies. Let it be patent free, so everyone can use it, everybody can look into it. Yeah, transparent.
It's partly taking place already, yeah, that's a funny saying. Even the NVO was proposing that actually all the research that they are funding, and that's quite a bit in social sciences and humanities.
You can explain what the NWO is.
It's one of these second wave.
New World Order, everybody knows.
the second.
What's it called? Flow. That's an organization that largely gets their money actually from the government, but they are supposed to be independent and give a lot of money away for all the research taking place in social sciences and humanities. But the problem is for sure that there where it really matters, because I mean I like social sciences, but where it really matters that the hard sciences. That is the sciences that are largely funded by companies, and they will never let themselves force to make research public afterwards, because then they wouldn't fund it, because for sure they wouldn't have. Why should a corporation fund research if they wouldn't have profit? Mm-hmm.
It's totally clear.
So there's a tension in that you could fight for publicly funded research being public, but you will get only the irrelevant research nowadays. Economically.
After round up the discussion, we have 5 more minutes. We also wouldn't have loved to put this in the context of contemporary student movement, but unfortunately there's not a lot of time. But maybe you can talk a bit about, do people feel like, I don't know which universities or schools or whatever you're from, setting up something like this similar in your place, or what are your...
If it was given at your school, would you think was interesting and participate?
Yeah, I actually have another comment. Did you get any media attention in the university newspapers? Because that might be a good way to get in contact, maybe with students. That
you mean before, beforehand, before the course?
Well, yeah, or maybe are you planning to do it with that?
Funny question. The university newspaper of Utrecht, they had action against because they it was closed, quit. It doesn't exist anymore.
There's no university newspaper. In Utrecht since 2 years. But we did a bit. We used our own media basically. So we have a website with Kritische Studenten Utrecht, which is quite well visited. So we made, we tried to get students to join the course this way. We handed out flyers. So we haven't actively tried to promote, I guess, the course via the normal channels. But I think this is something we should look at in the future, especially around the presentation of the results, the 30th of June in Utrecht. I think we'll definitely try and make contact with university or faculty newspapers, and also to get more people involved in this project and maybe make it extend it in the future.
But you also publish your own newspaper.
Yeah, we have our own newspaper, Kritische Studenten Utrecht. We have Krantje Boord, which we publish every 2 months. So we write about this course in there. So. Yeah, we're quite active in developing our own communication channels with students and teachers. So,
regardless from the background of what I'm schooled in, can I or somebody perhaps use as didactic skills to get involved in teaching certain subjects, and do you have a framework around it? So let's see, if I know a subject that I'm very good at and I want to use my didactic skills to explain to a larger public, can I get involved in one of the things you are doing to do so?
Not right now. But it would be very interesting. But I think you're more talking in the sense then of the London or Barcelona is principle about an open university where you can set up your own courses.
Yes.
Yeah. So we now we set up this second year our own course with which we want to research. But would it be very nice? It'd be more like a demand and supply. But it's not there. Hopefully in the future.
I think with that we should end the discussion.
I just wanted to answer your last question because I'm involved with the Kritische Student in Nijmegen Arnhem for a few months now, and actually it left me a bit demotivated and disillusioned, I guess, because when you're like handing out flyers, people are moderately enthusiastic, like, oh yeah, it's nice that you're doing something. Then we organized a debate where like zero people showed up, and also other things, people aren't really participating in things you try to organize. And also I think it's, for me personally, I think it's hard to put into words the frustration or like the critique I have with the university. So that's why I think what you are doing is really interesting, and I'm thinking about what we can do with it in Nijmegen. So.
I think we'd like to say keep at it, because I mean, of course, this is the way we started out as well, and this is, I mean, we with Kritische Studenten Utrecht, we've been doing actions at the university every year or every half a year, and we hand out flyers and we organize stuff and nobody comes, and that's the situation we're in. But
yeah.
I mean, slowly, I mean, we're doing more stuff. We have this course, we have a newspaper, we have a website that's really well run now, and we are involved in the struggles around the cuts. So I mean, it is improving. Our group is growing, and so.
But maybe we could get together also one time, get to see that and get to see that, and you know, because we've also experienced this.
Yeah.
If you organize something, nobody shows up. What do you do? And you continue, and what are the problems? Right. So we could get together.
Yeah.
I would like to thank you very much. Like, if you think of setting up the course, visit the website of Kritische Studenten Utrecht and get in contact with us. So, thank you. Hoeveel chips kunnen we nog
over? Nu.
In
ieder geval, ja, dit is een menu.
Ik zou namelijk even een interview met hem willen doen.
Ja.
Zou ik je misschien even kort kunnen interviewen over wat er in België is gebeurd?
Oh, ja,
ja,
mag.
Super, ja. Zullen we even lekker buiten gaan zitten? Dan, ja, dat is wel altijd even alleen maar.
Joost, zo wat.
Wil je dat op je handen zouden doen?
Kan allebei, of in de initiatieven?
Ja, doe eerst even schoenen aan.
Is voor studenten of wat? Dat jullie zeggen.
Ja, voor deze course.
Oh, ja, oké.
Doe het een beetje?
Dankjewel, oké. Het is toch iets moeilijker dan ik dacht om tussen de shots heel snel
bij te zetten. Tussen zeg maar de verschillende sprekers en zo. Weet ik niet. Ik ben nu op het moment.
Wordt die stap geïnteresseerd voor de course die we aan het doen zijn?
Oh,
dat is
ja.
Een deel van. Ik kan een tijd dat ik daar ook aan maken. Misschien dat deel
van. Wat voor courses komen er? Ja,
wat voor courses? Dit is dus de tweede voorkant. Dus de een beetje filosofische benadering. Was ik zelf niet bij, maar van de universiteit. En Spinoza.
Oh ja.
En dit is eigenlijk het tweede jaar dat we gaan doen. Eigenlijk hopen we volgend jaar eigenlijk dit weer misschien wel hetzelfde te gaan doen.
Oh, ja.
Om dit zelfs door te trekken. Dat we dit toch wel heel belangrijk
vinden. Ja.
Maar misschien met een andere insteek op deze
track.
Ja.
Sorry. Nou, ik ga eens kijken.
Ik ga
het terug. Een kritische student.
Ja.
Hebben jullie eigenlijk wel eens gepubliceerd dat het belangrijk is voor mij om te weten? Belangrijk voor mij om te weten. Of
belangrijke dingen?
Nee, dat was op de website nemen.
Ja?
Weet ik eigenlijk alles.
Ja, daar weet je alles. Ja. Misschien dat je ook een beetje moet vinden, maar er wordt redelijk veel gepubliceerd natuurlijk ook over artikelen over de Nederlandse internationale studentenbeweging en wat gebeurt er in de buurt. Vandaan de hoek wordt het rustig is.
De audio is echt een beetje te zwak geschakeld.
Ja, maar je neemt audio extern op. Los.
Ja, hiermee.
Ja, er is ja, een
synchroniseren. Ja, het is gewoon een programma voor Blue Eyes.
Ja.
En daar kan je gewoon